that as we open your word today, that you would speak to each individual heart about who you made us to be. Help us to grasp that reality and live it out. Give us strength to resist the lies of the world and the flesh and the devil. And empower us by your Spirit to be who you have called us to be. Our true identity. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to thank you for this morning already. So good to be back with you. And living out true Christianity. The togetherness. I love how we've spent time with our youth and our kids and with our missionary. And now we're looking at God's Word together. Ephesians chapter 1, starting to read at verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. Let me pause there. As we think about our identity, as we think about who we really are, we want to recognize, first of all, that our identity is not determined by the world. Our identity is not determined by the peer group we have. Our identity is not even really determined by the things we do. Even though when we greet somebody as adults, we oftentimes say, well, what do you do? What's your job? What's your career? Are you a farmer? Are you a banker? Are you a teacher? We ask those kind of questions. What do you do? Because we think that somehow helps us understand the identity of this person. And while that is a component, it's not the largest component. What we learned from this text and what we want to live out as we move forward is that our identity is determined by God. Our identity is determined by God. God knew you before you were born. God knitted you together inside your mother's womb. God knew you before the creation of the world. He saw you in your unformed state. He chose to make you. And it is his activity in your life. It is his doing that determines who you are. And as we go through life, we're going to be bombarded with false messages. The enemy has come to kill and steal and to destroy. And a big part of that is his lying to us about who we are. It's things like, oh, you're a failure. Things like, oh, you're a nobody. Or things you'll never be able to overcome this thing. You're always going to struggle with that thing. But our identity is determined by our Creator, who made us. And he's the one that breathes life into us. And he's the one that calls us into being. And he's the one that makes us in his image. And so as you think about yourself, I want you to recognize that you are God's creation. So I want to give you a takeaway, something that you'll be able to remember for the rest of your life. I'm imagining that most of you have a mirror that you look at least once in a while. Some of you maybe should look at it more often, by the way. But in these mirrors are images of your face, of your body. And as you look at that mirror, the world might say things to you about what you consider to be negative aspects of yourself. I want you to reject those messages. From now on, I want you to look at that mirror and see that you are God's creation. You're not an accident. You're not a product of evolution. You are a design of God. God has called you into being. God has breathed life into you. And when you see your reflection, I want you to say, that's God's masterpiece. That's God's masterpiece. Every time you look in a mirror, I want you to be able to say, that's God's masterpiece. You might not feel like a masterpiece some mornings. You might not actually look much like the masterpiece you could look like after a few hours of work. But you are God's masterpiece. So the mirror in your home, I would like to be transformed into a vehicle of communication of God's truth. That you are God's masterpiece. Your identity comes from God. The text says, first of all, praise be to God, because when Paul is talking about all the things God has done for us, he cannot help but erupt in praise. We're going to see that throughout this text. Praise, praise, praise. He's praising God over and over. And he's praising God because God has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. And he chose us in him when? Before the creation of the world. To be what? Holy and blameless in his sight. That's your identity. And in love he did this. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons. So it is a work of God in our lives. And we are in Christ as Christ's masterpiece. The second message that fly was spoken by Tim Johnson. And I had heard many of you talk about what a great preacher he was. And I enjoyed visiting with him before and after. But I have to let you know that as he was preaching, it got a little crazy. Here he was jumping up and down on the stage. And I really wanted that video clip to show this morning as evidence, but it hasn't been posted up on the Fly webpage yet. I tried to dig it up, but it's not there yet. But I want to show it to you because it was crazy. He's jumping up and down on the stage. But what was he doing when he's jumping up and down on the stage, Luke? Yeah, he was jumping on a $20 bill. Just as we want the mirror to communicate God's truth, I want every single $20 bill that you see from this day forward to communicate God's truth. Now, this is a real, authentic $20 bill. Does anybody want it? Yeah. Okay, this is the Finstrom granddaughter. What's your name? Michaela? Oh, what a pretty name. Okay, you want this? Well, why do you want it, Michaela? It's a $20 bill. What's the $20 bill good for? Spending on food and water. You're so practical. Where does that come from? If I give this to you, would you really spend it on food and water? Well, I don't want you to. What else might you spend it on? The fair. This could buy at least one Updoll donut. You know, at the fair, they're a little more expensive than they are at just the regular bakery. This $20 bill has value. It's recognized as having value. It can be traded for things like food and water or fun or rides or toys. It has value. But what we learned from Tim Johnson is when God adopted us, he chose us. Why did he do that? Because we have value. Why? Because God made us in his image. We're something of value, just like a $20 bill is value. But what happens to this $20 bill if this occurs to it? If it gets crumpled and it gets smashed and it gets twisted and it gets thrown on the ground and in the dirt and some crazy guy jumps and jumps and jumps and jumps on it. That's what Tim Johnson did, so I think it's okay to do. Is it still worth anything? Does it still have value? Do you still want it? All right, well, here you go. Don't waste it all on food and water. It has value, even though it's been trampled. And you have value, even if you've been trampled. You have value if you've been drugged through the dirt. You have value if you've stumbled into one sin or another. You have value if the world has mistreated you and Satan has lied to you and you've fallen into his schemes at times. You have value because God says you have value. You have value because God created you in his image. You have value because of what he did for you. He made you. He redeemed you. You have value regardless of sin struggles. God reaches down to grab a hold of you and he wants you to recognize his love for you. See, the enemy is constantly trying to tell you that you don't have value because of what happened to you. But God's message is that you have value because of what he did for you. That supersedes all the schemes of the world and all the lies of Satan. You have value. So every time you see a $20 bill, let it be a message from God that you have value. Some of the bills you pull out are crisp and clean. Some of them are threadbare and worn. Each one is worth $20. The crinkled ones, the crisp ones. When you feel clean, you're worth an infinite amount to God. When you feel dirty and crumpled and trod on, you have value, infinite value to God. You recognize every time you see a $20 bill that God values you. And may it be an incentive to turn again to him. See, we're taking the message of our identity in Christ that some experienced on the mountaintop, and we're saying we're going to live this out in the valley from this day forward. Another aspect of our identity is our gender. On Wednesday, the youth were divided into a men's group and a girls' group. Went to different venues, had different speakers. And I don't know what was said over in the girls' group. I didn't go there. And I don't know what was said in the men's group because I didn't want Jaden to go in there because I thought, you know, they may be teaching things an 11-year-old's not ready for. So we stayed home and played. But think about just the simple fact that they had the division. Girls, guys. Two groups, two teachers, two messages, different. Why? Because there's a difference between boys and girls. Your identity is greatly impacted by the reality that God chose to make you a certain gender. Your gender is a part of your identity, a God-given part of your identity, something to be celebrated. What's the first thing people ask when a new baby is born? Well, is it a boy or a girl? We want to know that. We want to know if we're going to get a pink blanket or a blue blanket for them. We want to know if they're going to be getting trucks and guns as gifts or if they're going to be getting dolls and other aspects as gifts, although I've seen lots of changing of gifts for different genders, and the gender alone doesn't determine everything about an individual, but it's an important part to be celebrated. God created male and female, different, complementary, each needed, each to be celebrated, each to be recognized, and then each to respond to God's grace and to become all that they're supposed to be in him. There's a lot of crazy messages in our world right now about gender. Recognize this. God is the author, the creator of mankind, men and women, in his image. Celebrate that. Don't give in to the lies of the world that try to twist the meaning of gender or to ignore the meaning of gender. Instead, recognize that God created us in his image to the praise of his glorious grace so that we might freely respond to him and receive from him his gifts. Look with me at 11 and 12. Actually, let me read what I haven't read so far, starting at verse 7. In him, that is in Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, that is Christ. In him we were also made heirs, or we were also chosen to have an inheritance, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. An inheritance. When God chose us, he gave us an inheritance. What does that inheritance include? When you became a child of God, a member of the kingdom of heaven, a recipient of the grace of God and his redemptive work in your life, it changed you. It birthed you. You became a new entity, a soul made alive, a spirit awakened, someone in connection with the Almighty God. Not just flesh and bone made in his image, but now a spirit alive, breathed and filled with the very Spirit of God, so that you're a spiritual being, a new creation. You received from him all that Christ has. You received from him his attributes. Earlier on in this text, it says that we were chosen in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. That's verse 4. In other words, Christ's blamelessness and Christ's holiness is now given to you. His character, his qualities, his attributes are now yours. You might think of yourself as not being very holy or not being very blameless, but those are mere little blips on the radar screen of your life. When you stumble and fall, those might be momentary experiences, but your true identity is brought to you from God, and he gave to you all the attributes of Christ. He gave to you holiness, and he gave to you blamelessness. That's true identity. That's your inheritance from Christ. So the mirror and the $20 bill hopefully will lead to you being able to remember that your true identity is holy and blameless. Now, when is that important? When's it important to remember that your true identity is holy and blameless? I think at church, it's good to remember that. When you're all cleaned up, dressed up, smiled up, ready to interact with people, the mornings after you've done your devotion time and spent an hour in prayer and done some singing and you're ready to interact with other Christians, it's good to remember you're holy and blameless. But let me encourage you. When you're trampled, and when you're run through the mud, when you've made decisions that are dishonoring to your Creator, when you've yielded to temptation and done activities that are contrary to your true nature, that's when it's important for you to remember your true inheritance. Those things that we call sin are not what determine your true identity, but it's what God has given you as an heir of salvation that determine your true identity. And what did Jesus say? Holy and blameless. A holy and blameless person who has momentarily done something that doesn't seem very holy or seem very blameless. But that thing does not determine who you are on the inside and how God sees you. Now, that doesn't mean you deny the thing that just tripped you up, but it means that you don't let it determine who you are and how you're going to respond and how you're going to walk forward from that moment on. So, a person who knows they belong to Christ, a person who knows their identity is in him, A person who knows that God is the one that called them forth, gave them his name, and imputed to them his righteousness and his holiness and his blamelessness, gets back up out of the mud, wipes themselves off a little bit, turns to God and says, God, you are my God. You are the one that determines my future. You are the one that determines who I am. And I choose to follow you. Not that stuff, and not the lies, and not the deceptions, not the world, and not the devil. I choose to follow you. Please forgive me for my sin, and let me live out the reality of your holiness and your blamelessness that you have given me. You see what's going on there? A God changed individual does not let things of the world determine who they are. But a God-filled individual lives for God even as he travels through the muck of life. Lisa and I spent a lot of time out in the garden yesterday. It's amazing after being gone 3.5 weeks what the garden looks like. There were some plants there and some weeds there. Well, not some, lots of weeds. So I'm out there, and my preference is to stand and yank weeds. But Lisa doesn't like standing and yanking weeds. Lisa's down on her knees. She got fancy knee pads. But then I think she got tired of that. So then I saw her sitting. I even saw her one time leaning on her shoulder pulling weeds. You can imagine what she looked like at the end of the day. She was filthy. And sometimes as you go through life, you get dirty. You get mud on you. You get stains on you. But God invites us to recognize that those things do not determine our identity. Even though she was that dirty, I still went and picked some raspberries for her. Gave her a raspberry, and as she was taking it from my fingers, I reached up and stole a kiss. I kissed her even though she was covered with mud. God values you even when you're covered with mud. The mud does not determine your identity. God does. And there's one more thing I want you to know about your identity. Verse 13 says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Nathan Huff reminded us on Friday that when God chose you, he marked you, he gave you his spirit, that's a guarantee of your future destiny. He didn't leave you an orphan. He didn't leave you to struggle on your own. He now lives inside of you. Your identity is a spirit-filled individual. And with that spirit of God inside of you, you now have the ability to listen to him, to let him guide you, to let him empower you, so that as you move forward in the world, it is the identity of God in you that you are experiencing and living out. It's the Holy Spirit marking you and determining who you are. And it's the Holy Spirit of God working in you to write your future. Is there a picture for us to have on the screen? I want a pencil. Every pencil you ever pick up to become a tool of God, helping you decide, helping you remember your identity. On Friday night at Life, each person was given a pencil. And we can use a pencil to write things, and sometimes we try to write our own story, and sometimes we try to determine how our life's going to go. And I can just tell you right now, things take twists and turns that you never would expect. And that is so good. Because if we wrote our own script and lived it out the same in fulfillment of all the things we thought would happen, we'd probably have a pretty boring script or a pretty worldly script. But God is writing your life story. And the question is, will you let him? Will you yield to him? And I want you adults to know what happened Friday night. As 2,000 people who had a pencil were invited to yield that writing ability to God. They'll no longer hang on tight. They'll no longer try to determine on their own how things were going to work out and write it on their own. But to come forward and lay that pencil on the altar to God. Every pencil you pick up, may it become now a teaching moment from God. As you pick it up, write down something, a grocery list, a test at school, filling in another little bubble. May that pencil remind you that you are giving your life and control of writing your script to the God who loves you, to the God who made you, to the God who called you into a relationship of holiness and blamelessness, to the God who fills you with his Spirit, God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth and you and me, is inviting you to walk with him, to follow his lead, to listen to his Spirit, to give him control. May that be your true identity. A Christ child, a Spirit-filled follower of Jesus who's submitting to the will of God. Would you take the pencils of your life and give them to your God? Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you are the one that determines our identity. You are the one that blesses us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, including blamelessness and holiness as we respond in faith to you. Live inside of us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Change us into your image. Thank you that because of what you've done, we have value. We don't earn our value. We don't create our value. We receive our value from you. Lord, give us strength to resist the lies of Satan and the world and to give ourselves fully and wholeheartedly to what you are doing inside of us, to experience the freedom that we can have in living out right now eternal life and freedom in you. Holy Spirit, we trust you to write our script. We pray all this in Christ's holy name. Amen.